Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on the road at the MedStar Capital's Iceplex. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. Scheduled to join us right now is Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. Hopefully he's joining us shortly.
There he is.
I believe he's making his way to the impromptu studio right now, so he will sit down and talk with us. Brandon Duhaime also coming up later. He's on the show at 8:45. Dylan Strome scheduled to join us coming up at 9 o'clock. So lots of Caps content for all of you Caps nerds out there.
Come on, Coach.
As the season will start tomorrow. So, hey, Coach Carberry. Coach Carberry is joining us.
Hey,
making
buddy.
The rounds, shaking the hands, kissing the babies. Get to sit right there, Coach. All right, Coach Carbs, welcome, welcome. It's good to see you. Yeah, man. Yeah, I know. We are on your turf now. We're in your spot at the Capitals Iceplex here.
What's up, Coach? What's up, bro?
How's it going?
You should be calling him Coach of the Year.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Come on, let's clap that. Overwhelming Coach of the Year.
I think I told him he was going to win that. Remember I told you that?
Yes, I did.
And you said, no, I'm not really thinking about that. It's all about the team. You knew you were going to win
Didn't some jerk voter, like, leave your name entirely off the ballot?
Well,
I know you don't care about that.
Why?
Like, you don't care about those. I care about those slights. I know you don't. But I'm petty, and you're not.
Yeah.
Hey, you got something in your contract, a little incentive if you win Coach of the Year?
100%.
You got a little extra?
I'm sure he got some new Pro V1s. Yeah, for sure.
Good.
I was able to do something special for our entire staff, so that was
cool. Oh, that's cool. Oh,
very nice. Cool. Very good.
Talk about the family moment you had kind of celebrating it.
Yeah, that was – I'll never forget that. I mean, they came in, and it's not like they're just around the corner or in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
they're all spread out.
Like, all over the continent, like where I grew up is, you know, a 7-hour flight. And then my brother drove from Camden, South Carolina, where him and his family live. So all these people for that moment and to come and spend some time for the next few days to celebrate, and that was, it was unbelievable. Then because no one was in our house. And then next thing you know, like that evening, the house is full with 15 people. So it was a great experience.
No,
is your brother
cool.
a hockey player?
No, he's a golfer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nice. He's a huge golfer. Yeah.
Ah.
Awesome. Yeah.
So
very good.
A lot of expectations, super exciting. Not a lot of turnover, right, with the roster. Your core is back. What do you make of explain to me NHL preseason. I see you guys, go 5-1 in the preseason. What does that mean? Like in the NFL, it doesn't really mean anything.
Same.
Yeah. Same deal.
Yeah.
It really doesn't mean much at all. Like, yeah, it's.
But in the NFL, they don't. A lot of teams don't play their starters.
And you know what's happening is we're following suit. So next year we're going to only 4 games.
Love that.
We're shortening camp up similar to what the NFL did, and we're adding 2 regular season games. So we're going from 82 to 84.
Oh wow!
Similar to what the
NFL
did. Yeah.
So I missed that.
Part of the issue here for you this preseason was Ovi's health. And we were here the day that he got nicked up. I think that was like about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to gauge like where he's at, like skating-wise and fitness-wise heading into the season. What did you see from him in his limited preseason action?
It's hard to evaluate just because at that point, even for the veteran guys, they're essentially just trying to get some game reps to get up to speed. Mm-hmm. And they're going, call it 80% through those reps. And So it's not ideal him missing as much camp as he did, but he's smart enough and has gone through this enough to know the things he needs to do to get up and running and ready for tomorrow night. So hopefully, you know, he's at this point in his career and his age, he's able to it's always a process at the beginning of the year, but hopefully he gets up and running as quickly as possible.
Now, a guy who would push back against us saying that preseason doesn't mean anything, it's meaningless, is Hendricks LaPierre.
Yeah.
He makes the big club. He was actually leading the league, or is tied with a few other guys, with 7 points in preseason.
Yeah.
How does he fit into your plans, and what improvements have you seen from him that enabled him to make that jump from being at Hershey to being here full-time?
Yeah, and that's a prime example of, like, where preseason doesn't necessarily matter for Jane Daniels and Terry McLaurin and our veteran guys. For the young guys, the new draft picks, guys that are trying to crack the lineup, it's as important as the Super Bowl for them, because they're trying to earn a roster spot and they're trying to earn playing time. So Lappy was in that spot where he needed to come to camp and he had something to prove to try to earn a roster spot on our team. And he had a great training camp preseason. You could tell his mindset was exactly where it needed to be, extremely focused. And you can see he's matured a little bit and gotten a little bit stronger in the offseason, had a good summer of training, so he's in a good spot.
Going back to last season, when you kind of reevaluate everything, you know, you have a great season. You win a round in the playoffs. You lose in the second round. What was missing, you think?
So I felt like, as crazy as it sounds, because a lot of people in this area affiliate our team still with the 2018 team that won the Stanley Cup. 90%,
totally different team.
90% of our roster had never been in the second round.
Wow.
It was the first time they'd ever
been. So experience.
Other than John, other than Ovi, and other than Tom Wilson, we had like one other guy that had experienced the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I'm not necessarily chalking it all up to experience, because it doesn't mean you can't win a cup if you don't have guys, you know, majority of your roster that hasn't been there before. Some teams have done that. But I felt like in the second round, when we were playing against a real playoff tested, a team that had been there 6 years in a row or whatever it was and played in multiple conference finals, we just in those moments where, and the margins are so thin, right? Each game, when I went back and dissected every single one, there was a couple moments in each game that they made the play and we didn't. They executed and we didn't. They scored the power play goal and we didn't. They got the save and we didn't. And so when you sit back and look at each game and go, there was three or four moments where, whether it was experience or whether they just stepped up and made that play, they executed in those moments and we didn't.
One of those inexperienced guys, though, that did get incredible experience was Ryan Leonard, right? So what have you seen from there to now? What kind of growth?
Yeah, I think, I hate to say this, because reflecting on last year, like, you wanted him to come in and just hit the ground running and
dominate,
be an offensive juggernaut and so it didn't feel great at the time, but I think now looking back and what he's going to reflect back on and for his development, I think last year really, really helped. The small sample size that he got, and he went back in the summer and got,
like, wow, I got to work on some stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And not just that he needs – you have a true understanding when you go through it of how good the league is. It's the best league in the world. And for young players, it is unforgiving. And guys want to steal your lunch money, and they don't give you an inch out there like that. So he got to feel that in the most important time of the year and the hardest time of the year in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And so I think going back this summer, it's given him an appreciation and go, okay, I felt that. I got a lot of work to do. I know what I can become in this league, but it's going to take a ton of work, and I'm going to have to put that in this summer. And so you can come, even coming back to camp this year, like, there was a little bit of added focus.
I mean, even though he wasn't like super productive point wise, I don't feel like his presence was felt.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah, no doubt.
No doubt about that.
So, Carbs, I'm just looking at some preseason power rankings from NHL.com.
Oh, no.
Are we way out there?
You can throw it out the window if you want. But they have you 11, but they've got Carolina 3 and Florida 6.
Yeah.
All right, so those are two big humps to get over.
No,
Based on –
Were you aware of those? I feel like he was aware of those.
I know all the predictors.
I understand. I understand. Maybe things will change.
And it's all good. Like, I don't take offense to those.
But last year –
they've got a job to do.
Last year, watching the Carolina series, I don't know if you felt the same way. It just felt like they were just a little bit better at everything. They were a little quicker, a little bit better at whatever they did, right? Do you think that you've – and you didn't make a lot of additions to the roster.
Yeah.
So how do you think you match up with a team like Carolina now based on what you did in the offseason?
Okay, so I agree with you.
Okay.
The only counter I would say is the margins for that. Like, they were a little bit better.
Right.
And they were a little quicker. And they were executed at a higher level. But it's not like it's this.
Okay.
It's
not
like
a huge chasm.
Okay.
It's like this.
Right.
And so you hope with a year more of experience and having gone through that and some of our younger guys taking another step and the continuity inside of our group and getting a little bit better on specialty, all the different things, you hope now that we can
you inch it up a
close
little bit.
That gap. And then, you know, when you get hopefully into that moment again, you're able to get on top of them in those moments.
We're joined by Spencer Carberry, Capitals head coach. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit cfaortho.com for details. I wanted to ask you about Sonny Milano. He played in just three games last year. Pretty productive when he's on the ice here in D.C. 33 points in 64 games in 22 and 23. 23 points in 49 games back in 23 and 24. How is his health at this point? Do you have to manage like rest and days off for him? He's never played more than 66 games in a season in his career. Is that something that you and the training staff like actively have to stay on top of for him?
To a certain extent. I think him last year and as much time as he missed, essentially the whole season, he played the first three games of the year and then missed the rest of the year. So there was a lot of doubt coming into this camp, and his summer, he was feeling good. He was able to train and come to camp. But I'm not going to lie. As a coach, you're sort of like, I'm not sure what to expect. That's a lot of time missing NHL action. And I'm not just talking games. Like, he wasn't practicing for basically almost a calendar year. So, you know, his now moving forward, he had an excellent camp. Looked like him old self. Earned a spot back on the team. And so that was great to see. I mean, I was not surprised, but really impressed that you can miss that much time, and he just hit the ground running in training camp. So it was good for him to see. Now, is it going to take a little bit of time for him to ramp up? We'll see if he plays tomorrow night, but I think his game's in a good spot, and he's just going to stay ready. And when he gets into game action, I think it's just about him building game reps, being reliable, getting back into all those spots he's shown in the past that he's capable of doing.
Coach Carberry, I was watching this documentary recently about the U.S. Women's National Team, and the coach had to let certain players know whether they made the big club or not made the big club. Do you still have to do that? Is that the hardest part of your job? What's it like telling somebody whose dream is to make it, and maybe they'll ultimately make it, that they're not going to be part of the big roster?
No doubt the worst part of the job is doing that and delivering that news. Also, the best part of the job, winning and losing is, you know, winning's great, losing sucks.
Right.
But the best part I find is being able to share, and I used to love this in the American Hockey League, of sharing with a player that he's going to go up and play his first NHL game.
Very cool.
It's like, that is a moment that I can basically list all the players that I've been able to have those conversations with. So on the flip side of that, it's tough because they put so much work into it and train, and when you have to deliver that news, it's never good. Like talking to Ethan Frank the other day, it's gut-wrenching because he's a first and foremost an incredible human being, and he's worked his butt off and played really well for us last year when we called him up. And so to tell him that we're putting him on waivers and he's going down to the American League if he clears are really, really difficult.
Now, Coach, it's game one tomorrow against Boston here. What do we know about Boston? Obviously, you know, I don't know if you followed them in the preseason.
Yeah.
I don't see him on the top 16 in the preseason power rankings.
Yeah. So they can't be that good. NHL power rankings here to my left.
You got
to
tell me about the Boston.
By the way, what do you make of a guy who wears a jersey here that's signed and everything on the
that's
back?
Okay.
All of my jerseys are signed.
Hardcore fan. That's what I think.
All of my jerseys are signed.
Love
that
guy.
All I got.
Rocking the red at 7 a.m.
There you go.
Right.
It's perfect.
So Boston coming off a tough year, coach changes. A lot of new personnel, like they've sort of changed the mix of their forward group, brought in a little bit of physicality there. And then I think just with some guys getting healthy last year, I don't think it's a fair assessment of their team. Charlie McAvoy missed basically the Four Nations. If you remember, he I think it was a shoulder injury that basically put him out for the rest of the year. And then also Lindholm, Hampus Lindholm, who's a really good defenseman for them, missed majority of the year as well. So those are two real building blocks. And Jeremy Swayman, I think last year was probably an off year for him, one of the best goalies in the National Hockey League over the last few years.
Maybe we should have started off with this. What was the coolest thing you did this summer?
Oh, without a doubt.
Because now you're in the grind.
Yeah, so it was my family and I, we got to go experience Hawaii for the first time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Which islands did you go to?
We went to Oahu and we went to Maui.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, love it.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you get playing golf while you're out there?
Did you see Coach Quinn? Coach Quinn lives there.
I talked to him about that.
Yeah?
He lives on Oahu, right?
Oh, are you looking to buy some property out there?
No, but I was
you visited? Because he owns a house out there.
I know.
Maybe he'll let you chop the mortgage payment. You got to share the house.
I know. I was like, hey, can I maybe come stay for a week?
Not a bad
Airbnb.
Idea.
Yeah, exactly. He was telling me where it was just sort of by Waikiki and that. Yeah, that's it was.
Is there a fraternity of, like, the coaches here of the local teams? You know, Wizards coach you, Dan Quinn?
Little bit. Like, with Dan being here the last couple of years and getting to know him a little bit and spending some time with him, for sure.
Mutual respect, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have, like, they do what they do, like, especially when you live it, and I know what they go through on a daily basis, sort of,
right.
From, like, your family, from the hours you put in to hanging on the wins and losses to the media scrutiny, like, all of that. It's easy to be able to relate to each other and the moving around you do your entire life as a coach. And so, yeah, I've been following those guys and knowing Adam and the general manager there and, you know, what he's doing and how they're building that.
So you're officially a fan then?
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Yes. We've recruited another one,
Cakes.
Right.
Commander's guy.
We got another
Coach Carbs.
One.
Love it. Yeah. Well, Coach Carbs, we appreciate you spending time with us. We know it's going to get super busy for you starting tomorrow night with the Bruins in town. Best of luck this season.
Thank you.
And we're looking forward to having you on the show throughout the season.
Spectacular guest, Cakes.
He's the best.
Coach Carbs is a spectacular guest.
Love this man.
By the way, he shaves his head. Like, I know,
so
you
clean.
Take off your cap.
Oh, come on. You're embarrassing me.
That's the point.
Let's show the comparison. Who does better?
He's just laughing.
You knew we were going to have Carbs on.
Coach he's the gold standard when it comes to shaving his head. I am not. I need to take lessons.
You need some tips.
Take me under your wing.
Give him some tips,
Carbs.
Coach.
I need those.
Yeah,
that's Coach Carberry from the Washington Capitals. He's brought to you by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. When we come back, Mike Marr will have skate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's on the ice. We're going to see if he's a good skater or if he flops out there. We'll do that next here on the Junks. We'll be right back.
You can hear the game right here on The Fan at 7:30 tonight. The voice of the Capitals, John Walton, will be on the call, and he joins us now on the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. John, thank you for a few minutes. Happy New Year to you. Let's do the hockey.
Yeah, let's do it. And if I'd known you guys were going to be that close, I should have come over and gotten some wings. I feel like I might have missed out on a good opportunity there. But you know what? It's a great atmosphere outside. I was just outside a little bit ago. The rain held off. And it is really great to have hockey back. Just can't wait to get it going here.
What's the most important thing for this team this year?
Danny, I think the most important thing is getting offensive production from the third line. This team was really good from the top forward all the way to the 12 forward, the two goaltenders, the 6D. But the one thing that they just never really figured out last year was how to get scoring production from the third line. It started with Henrik Slompierre at the beginning of the season. It didn't work out, and he got sent to Hershey. They traded for Lars Eller, and I love me some Tiger, but there just wasn't enough offense there this time around, and there just weren't that many goals. There are a lot of goals on this team they scored, but not a lot of them came from there. So I'm going to be watching tonight Anthony Beauvillier, Henrik Slompierre, and Ryan Leonard. There's great potential in Leonard. Henrik Slompierre was the team's best player in the preseason. He's come in to grab a job, and he did. He even changed the trajectory. I talked with Spencer Carberry. We'll have it on the pregame tonight. Talking about, look, we were talking to have Connor McMichael at center on the third line, and he came in and basically changed our plans. And good for him, because, you know, making those decisions tough, that's what you need. So I love what we saw in camp. You got to make it work in the regular season. It's got to start here tonight against Boston, but more offense on the third line. Do that, and I think this team's going to be just fine.
John, Henrik Slompierre was the leader in the NHL in points for most of the preseason. So the production was obvious, and that's how he crowbarred his way into the mix here. But what is different about his game? What have you seen as a progression? Because as you said, last year they gave him a third-line role. It didn't stick. They're running it back and trying again this year. And then also give me a thought on Leonard, who looked way more comfortable, finished with way more ability and consistency in the preseason than he did in the regular year last year.
Yeah, I mean, and both kind of have similar stories, just in different places in their career. And for Henrik's, I just thought he was very tentative last year, and he just never really attacked the puck. And I think part of the issue with Henrik's, too, and it's great to the winning and development down on the farm in Hershey, and they won back-to-back Calder Cups, and he was even the MVP for the second one, but he played into July for 2 years. And the Bears went out in the second round this year, and he had some more time, and just hearing, you know, Chris Patrick talk about that and Spencer Carberry, where he got more summer, not only to work out and get bigger and stronger, but also rest and come into camp ready to go. And I see him attacking the net. I see a shoot first mentality that I didn't see, quite frankly, a year ago during camp. It just wasn't enough. I kept waiting, like, oh, it's got to come. It's got to come. Well, he's going to be 3C on opening night. Well, it's got to come. And it just never did. And no goals in 27 games. There wasn't a choice. They had to send him down. But that's the exact opposite to your point that he did this year. He came in and just lit it up, and he distributed the puck. He won faceoffs, too. I mean, it wasn't just the points. It was the fact that he was winning draws. He didn't look out of place at all at any point. I think he's ready to go. Ryan Leonard, you know, it's still a little bit of a work in progress. I love the fact that he was scoring goals in the preseason. You could see that confidence. He's got an unbelievable shot. He's coming in with a pretty high pedigree, led the nation in scoring among NCAA, you know, top 10 pick, you know, all of those things. He's got to play at both ends. I mean, I want to see a little bit more on the defensive side. Saw a few things in the preseason. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, he's learning still. And I think we got to understand as a fan base and as a media core, like, there's going to be some growth that he's still going to have to experience. He's still his first opening night. He's still first time he's going to have a full season in the NHL. But, boy, the sky's the limit. And really looking forward to seeing what those two can do with Anthony Beauvillier.
It goes without saying, and John Walton on the call, Caps Hockey tonight, 7:30, puck drop right here on the Fan for game one. Those are the two guys that could be this year's kids that make a leap, like McMichael and Protas did last year. But what about the guys that didn't make the roster, who provide the depth, who in most organizations would be on the team based on their camp and preseason? I'm thinking Ivan Mereshnichenko, the other Protas, little Protas, who's 6'6 all of a sudden, Ilya, and then also Andrew Kristol. I mean, will we see those guys early or at all this year, or is the Caps' plan that ideally they won't have to tap into them this season?
I think it's more the second one, that you hope you don't have to, and all of that's pretty well based on, are there injuries, is there a necessity? But, man, Ilya Protas is a specimen. Like, he may turn and make a play at the net in the Columbus game where and he didn't score, but I was like, man, just look at the instincts and going to the front of the net, and he's already as big as his brother. And, you know, we saw for Alexei, I was like, going into last year, I was like, gosh, if we could get to double digits in goals, even 15, like, that'd be a nice season. And he goes out and drops 30 on us. At some point, I mean, if you've got both of those guys and the size and the speed, and I'd even throw Eric Mateko in there, who we really liked during the preseason. Ryan Chesley was great, I thought, defensively. And you can see the next wave coming. The job that this organization has done
in this rebuild on the fly that went back to the trade deadline in 2023 and said, you know what, we're not making the playoffs this year, but we're going to get some picks. And we brought in Rasmus Sandin, and we're going to last summer go out and bring seven new guys in and just all spot on across the board, all guys that contributed and guys that excelled, including the starting goaltender tonight, Logan Thompson, 30 wins last year, to be able to move that needle forward. Now you got to take the next step, right? I mean, yeah, last year was great, but you've got to be able to get production from whatever is on the farm if you need it, to be able to have guys go to the next level, the third line, as we talked about. And defensively, I mean, I think a lot of people, even outside of Washington, look at this decor and say it might be the best in the NHL. You've got guys that can score. You've got guys all the way through that are tough to play against, positionally sound, make it easy on the goaltenders a lot of nights. That'll take you a long way. And I think that's the real backbone of this team, is a decor that might be second to none in the whole league as we get going tonight.
You know the voice. It's John Walton, play-by-play voice of your Washington Capitals, joining us here on Grant and Danny live from City Tap in Penn Quarter. John, Wayne Gretzky is the greatest hockey player of all time, one of the great athletes of all time. I'm not saying anything to besmirch him. I'm just trying to make a point here for a second. In his age 38 season, he managed 9 goals across 70 games. In Alex Ovechkin's age 39 season, he managed 44 goals in a season where he broke his leg. I have run out of words. I don't have we need to make up new ones to try to describe how patently absurd all of this was and still remains to this day. What do we expect from age 40, Alex Ovechkin?
I never think the low end, that's for sure. I mean, and to your point, and it's a great one, you know, that's what he did last year. So when everybody asks the question, and everyone does, is he retiring? Is this the last year? And truly, I don't think he knows. I think it just going to play this out and see how it goes. I honestly think that now that we're at opening night, I think that's the way it's going to go. It's his business and his alone. But when you had the year he had last year, how could you leave at this point? Like, if maybe you don't get 44, maybe you get 35, maybe you get even 30. But if you do, like, you're still producing, and the power play and all the things that, you know, and how do you walk away from that? So, I mean, I think we'll know through the course of the year. I mean, Father Time's undefeated, but Father Time never met Alex Ovechkin, I'll tell you, because you're right.
Yeah,
I mean, Wayne Gretzky, my goodness. I mean, you know, all his goals came in his 20s, really, a lot of them. And, you know, here he is. And right, with a broken leg and all of that, and we all thought, oh, gosh, what's this going to do? Is he going to be able to come back from it? Well, he did just fine, and he just mowed it down. I mean, that's the thing. Think back to those few days in April when he got to 895. It wasn't like he just limped into it. He mowed it right over. He's like, ah, you know what? 2 goals, could have had 4 against Chicago at home that night, and then just go grab it in the second period the very next game. He just will always be the best to ever do it.
John, how about the fourth line? A change has been made with Duhaime and Dowd, one of the few additions this offseason, and Justin Sordiff. What do we think?
You know what? This is a real big night for him, and I'm glad you brought him up because, you know, they like his skating, a little bit of toughness there. And, you know, I had a chance to talk with him a little bit this week. I mean, he's excited. You know, he didn't really get a chance in the Florida organization because Florida is very good. They won the Cup back-to-back years, and he just couldn't quite break through. But now he's got that opportunity. He's here on opening night. You know, he's got a regular line to play on. And who better to learn from than Nick Dowd, who is one of the best defensive guys to do it. I think that's going to be a line that gets a lot of ice time. And he gets to come down the tunnel for the first time tonight. You know, you're right. I mean, there's 20 guys on this roster that played here last year. And so, run it back after 111 points. Why would you change very much? But, you know, how excited must he be? And I love those stories when you get to this and you've just waited all your life. Yeah, he got called up, but he's only played 4 NHL games in his whole career. Tonight, in our town, with a juiced house and coming down that tunnel for the first time, a brand new locker room, by the way, it's just a great story. I love that for him, and I hope he has a great season with those guys.
Give me it's hard to say on a veteran team with a bunch of guys in their prime. The younger players, I think, of quote-unquote, are, you know, in their primes right now. Guys like Dylan Strome, Connor McMichael, PLD, et cetera. But give me, if there is such a thing on this roster, John, give me a breakout candidate, someone that we're not thinking about that might have a great year.
That's an interesting question. I mean, Ryan Leonard would be the guy that, I mean, you'd be wondering, you know, what does he do in his first full year? Because it's not easy to jump up and do what he did last year to you know, on the way to the second best record in the NHL and catching a moving train and leaving college to be with a good NHL team. And then in the playoffs, and oh, by the way, Wayne Gretzky's congratulating you in person on your first goal. I mean, just crazy, crazy stuff that we'll never see again. I mean, I think that's a possibility. But you know what? The guy for me that just because he's on that same line and not somebody we're necessarily thinking about, I think Anthony Beauvillier could have a big year. This is a guy who's played with Alex Ovechkin, but he's also played with Sidney Crosby. He's played with Matt Barzal of the Islanders. He knows how to play with good players, and now he's at a point in his career where he can kind of take that role and run with it. And how many guys have we seen that have come here? Logan Thompson last year, Pierre-Luc Dubois last year. I mean, you can go back to the Cup team and a guy like Brett Connolly and Devontae Smith-Pelly didn't work somewhere else. And hey, no, nobody wanted him. And then you come here and you do big things. And I've got our first radio show on your very station on Saturday morning. We're going to talk to Chris Patrick about this. What makes this culture and this team so special that guys come here and it's like, well, you know, like Logan Thompson, a little chip on the shoulder. Team Canada doesn't want me, or Vegas didn't want me, and I'm going to come in here, I'm going to win 30 games. There's a fostering of, listen, you be you, and we accept you, and you come in here and just play hockey. If you help us win, we want you here. And I think for Anthony Beauvillier, that could be that this year, that he has a big offensive year because, you know, that faith, and you know, he's bounced around with a few teams, but now he gets to come here and just like, you know what, this is your role, go help these kids be better and make you better too in the meantime. I think that might be my pick, Anthony.
John Walton, 7:30 start time tonight, pregame about 15 minutes before that right here on The Fan. John, last one I'll let you out on this. I was just here for the preseason game a week ago against Boston. This is not your older brother's Bruins team. Give us a little scouting report on the opponent tonight.
Yeah, they're in transition. I mean, this is not, you know, and it was so used to for so many years, you know, here comes Marchand, here comes Bergeron, here comes Krejci. You know, David Pastrnak is still a world-class goal scorer, but they don't have a lot beyond that. They've got a team. Victor Arvidsson has haunted the Capitals in his previous incarnations, most notably in Nashville. But they're trying to find offense. Marco Sturm, who played for the Capitals briefly, is going to make his NHL coaching debut tonight, head coach behind the bench, coming up from NHL Ontario. So they've got some guys on defense. I like Charlie McAvoy and Mason Lauri. That's their top deep pair. That they've got to play a lot. You're going to hear those names, see those names a lot tonight. But this is a team that, I mean, if when you look at them defensively, Jeremy Swayman's a good goalie, but you can get shot volume on these guys. It's just a matter of forecheck and getting shots. And I think when you do that, you got a real good chance of winning. You know, the Islanders and the Rangers. The Rangers, I thought, were real quiet last night against the Penguins, and honestly, that surprised me. I don't think all that much of what Pittsburgh has right now beyond Sidney Crosby, and their veterans have gotten older. But, hey, they looked good last night, and they beat the Rangers and shut them out in their home opener. So you got that on Sunday. You got the Islanders. I'm hoping that, you know, this team finds a way to, you know, put two or three wins on the board here and then feel pretty good about yourself going into the first full week next week.
You mentioned Saturday's broadcast. Tell people about the Caps cast you're doing.
Yeah, so Caps Saturday face-off, 7 to 8 a.m. We're really pumped about it. We're going to have a full hour of Caps talk every week during the season. Chris Patrick's going to join me this week. We're going to have Spencer Carberry in a long sit-down conversation. Katie Florio with a couple of players talking about off-ice stuff. It's going to be really good, and we're really looking forward to it all season long. 7 to 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings throughout the season, Caps Saturday face-off. And pumped to be part of the family, guys.
Love having you, man. Always invited. Open door policy.
Yeah.
You know that.
Just a little corner of real estate on the old 1067.
That's right.
Just wipe your feet and have a seat on the couch, man. Copeland's on the way.
I don't mind if I do. Thank you.
Love it, brother. Have a great call tonight, man. Have a great season, buddy. Thank you as always.
All right, fellas. We'll see you. Thank you.
There's John Walton, 7:30. The Caps begin a brand new campaign. He will be in the call right here on 1067. The Fan.
Tonight. In Chinatown, Capital One Arena, 7:30 puck drop for season 2025-2026, the Caps hosting the Bruins.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The NHL season actually got underway with a few games last night. The longtime voice, and we're talking about 30 years at least, of the Washington Capitals is our good friend Joe Beninati to help us kind of preview this upcoming season. Last year, obviously, a surprise season, 51-22-9, first in the Metropolitan. They won their first playoff series, beating Montreal since the Stanley Cup season. And of course, you know, much of the season was about Alex Ovechkin's goal-scoring chase. Let's start there. What do you expect from the guy that led the team in goals and potentially could have led the league in goals had he played all, you know, 82 last year? What do you expect in this age 40 season?
Kevin, he's still amazing in so many different ways, but, you know, this is season 21 for him, and I still see the kid-like joy that he approaches an opening day. It's not like it's something that's tiresome or that he would be jaded. He has the approach of a five-year-old youth hockey player getting out there and running around. That's just the way he approaches the game. He still has the love for it and that zeal to perform at the highest level. Now, for him, at age 40, I think the most important thing is to keep him healthy. I wish you could bubble wrap him, but you can't. But even in a situation last year where he had the largest in-season injury of his career, he was still able to produce enormous goal totals at age 39. At 40, I'm hoping for the same. When you look at it, you sit there, there's no way he can do that again. I'm sorry, this is Alex Ovechkin. He does things that people don't expect.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I think it's interesting how last year sort of was talked about before the year began, right? It was like, you know, he's going to chase this down and hopefully he'll get there, but it's probably going to happen in 2026 at some point, mm-hmm. you know, mid to late season. And then he's on this tear and the team is playing well. And it was almost as if people focused more, Joe, on his goal chase, his record chase, than the fact that he was a big reason why the team had a surprising season.
Yeah, without a doubt. Things came together, and it wasn't just Alex's season in the great chase, et cetera, et cetera. It was more than just Alex's 44 goals that helped them run away with the East, run away with the Metro. It was a team that collectively, so many of them, achieved single-season best years altogether, and that's what you hope can continue. I still see them as a team that's maturing. I see shrewd moves through the draft for the future. I see shrewd moves player personnel-wise to inject some more speed into the lineup starting tonight. I really like this team. I do. I just think there are a lot of squads, especially in the East, that are improving. And I think the best teams in the NHL probably reside out West. But there's no real reason why you could sit there and go, no, the Caps aren't going to do that again. They snuck up on everybody. Okay. I still think that they're collectively on paper better now than they were then. And this team really likes it, Kevin, when prognosticators and handicappers go, now's the step back. The chase is over. They're going to relax. They're going to be a fringe playoff team. No, I don't think so. I don't see it that way. And when the guys hear that, when the players hear that, when this coaching staff hears that, it's fuel. It motivates them.
What did we learn last year about Spencer Carberry, who won the Jack Adams Award for the best coach last year? What did we learn about him as a coach? Not that he had a great season, obviously, but what did we learn about the kind of teams that he wants to produce?
2 years ago, when he arrived, Kevin, they wanted to play, and he wanted to play a tempo, a style of game that his horses couldn't do. He didn't have the speed to play the way he wanted to 2 years ago. He managed, and what he did was revise. So he revised another plan for last year, and look what it did and how it impacted so many players individually. His, I think, great ability is to meet with players one-on-one, isolate a role for them, and then with the help of his staff and the help of the team collectively, they help everybody fit together inside the role. There's no circle trying to be a square. If you have to be this player for this group to succeed, then let's itemize what your role is. Let's identify it. And I'm going to motivate you to be the best player X that you can be. And he just has a way of, and it's not just the way he deals with media. It's the way, more importantly, what happens behind those closed doors that influences everyone. But the media sees him as a very young coach. He's still, I believe, the second youngest. So his ability to relate to these players is very, very good. And they see just how much he brings to the table, not just X's and O's, but intensity and motivationally. And they want to play and succeed for him. And now in year three, I expect even better things. I really do. And Spencer is a fabulous coach. His staff doesn't get nearly enough credit that it deserves. But top to bottom, that's a really good group. And they have the ability to know what this particular group of players needs to be at their best. And what's the expression? They push those right buttons.
All right, let's talk about, you know, the team. And I want to start with Ryan Leonard. Obviously, as a very young player being called up late in the year, there were some expectations. And by the way, I thought even in the games where he didn't produce a point, he looked like and seemed like he was on the verge of producing something. Where does he kind of fall in here on their, on their lines? Is he going to – how will that shake out? And what are you expecting from Ryan Leonard?
So here's the great thing about this club in particular, and I'm not saying that they didn't have this ability last year. I think they did. But when you inject Ryan Leonard in full time, when you put Hendrix LaPierre in hopefully at full time, Justin Sortif in full time – now you're giving Spencer and the staff, coaching staff, flexibility. So Leonard, to me, is going to start on the third line with Beauvillier and LaPierre, but at any given moment could play second line, could play first line, could be fourth line. Ryan's skill set, he plays the game with a sort of hell-bent-for-leather kind of approach. He's not 6'3", 235. He's right. Not one of those guys, but he plays bigger than he is. He reminds me in that regard of a TJ Oshie who always played bigger than he was. He's not afraid to get his nose dirty. He sticks his head in and he sticks his body in along the boards with players who are much bigger and stronger. But he goes in with such a ferocity to it. It worries me sometimes because he does play on the edge and he does play fast. He's a well-conditioned, well-put-together athlete. He knows what his body can sustain. But I think it's interesting, Kevin, that you choose to start with him because he's a player. You saw it in flashes and in brief instances last year. And to ask him to come from being the big star on the national stage at Boston College into the Stanley Cup playoffs or inject him into Alex Ovechkin's great chase with only right. 3 or 4 or 5 goals left. That's a lot to ask from an expectation standpoint. They're still going to ask a lot from him. I think he's better suited for it now. I think he's more comfortable. And he's the type of player that, has the not only the skill set, but the moxie and the confidence. There's a confidence, an air about him.
He was
says,
fearless.
You know what?
He was fearless.
He is.
Yeah.
And he's got the pedigree, Kevin. I mean, this is a World Junior MVP. This is a National League champion type player going deep into the NCAA tournament. This is a player who's used to winning. And I like what I see from him. And I think the player, he's blended in nicely with this group of players. They still protect him. He's still the 20-year-old kid. But I think he's going to fit in very, very nicely with this group.
Talking, of course, to Joe B, Caps and Bruins tonight to open up the season. So what are we going to see goaltender-wise? Are we going to see Lindgren and Thompson split a lot of the games? Or will, you know, Thompson kind of take it and run with it this year as the primary goaltender?
I'm not going to put words in Scott Murray and Spencer Carberry's mouth, but I would guess with what Logan achieved and what he showed last year, he is the unquestioned number one, and Charlie Lindgren is okay with that. And Charlie Lindgren is the really nice foil to be the backup. So in a perfect world, you usually anticipate in an 82-game season sort of a two-thirds to one-third split when you have an ordained number one like Logan has become. And I just think the two of them give you the ability to win each and every night. There are a lot of teams that would be envious of this tandem. Now, you know, is Logan going to be thought of like a Shesterkin or a Bobrovsky or a Vasilevsky, that kind of elite number one? No, but he's not far off of that. And he, to me, is the poster child of, you know what, you don't think I'm that good? I'll show you. You don't think I'm good enough for this international team or that NHL team or that Canadian college or junior team? Let me show you. At every level, this guy has bowed his back and played with that chip on the shoulder and said, I will show you that I'm better. And okay, Logan, you played great. You got this lucrative contract. Now you're going to relax. No, no, no. Watch. He's just that kind of competitive person, and I think the entire team feeds off of it.
If I tell you Strome leads the team in points, who's second?
Dubois. I really think Pierre-Luc Dubois is. I think Pierre-Luc Dubois is a terrific two-way player. And for 4 months last year, Kevin, he was on the way to pushing Dylan to that top spot.
Right.
And I think in the last 2 months, and I need to check with Pierre-Luc directly, but in the last couple of months, and especially come playoff time, Pierre-Luc Dubois is a very sound two-way player, conscientious in the defensive zone, and I wouldn't be surprised if, and I'm again, this is just me making a guess, that, hey, I know you can contribute. We know we want you to contribute at the offensive end, but hey, do me a favor. We're playing Carolina. I need you to sit on Aho tonight. You're playing Montreal. I need you to sit on Suzuki tonight. You're playing against Edmonton. I need you to guard McDavid tonight. He focused so much on the defensive assignments in the second half of the season, and especially closer to playoff time, that it probably weakened his offensive output. When you watch him in training camp, I only think he played two or three preseason games tops, but he was flat out flying. And when he's right, to me, I think this is going to be the first year he gets 30 goals. He's been a high 20s guy for a while. He went crazy with assists last year. I expect him to push Dylan in that 1-2 total point race.
Tell me a little bit about the guy they traded for in June, sort of. Where does he fit in?
So at the beginning of camp, Kevin, there was something going on there. He was in a non-contact jersey. He was not himself. I've seen him feel better, get stronger, look quicker. Our scouts really speak highly of him. And these are the same pro scouts and amateur scouts who have been drafting incredibly well the last two or three years. I can't tell you how excited I am for two or three seasons out from now. The Caps are going to be a hulking. There's going to be there. Everybody on the team is going to be basically NBA small forward. They're right. Huge and talented, but that's for a few years from now. This group identified Justin Sortif as a player who can play center, play wing, be aggressive on a forecheck, and be a real nice mix with those two bloodhounds, with Duhaime and Dowd on that fourth line. But again, he gives you the flexibility to play anywhere in the lineup. The thing that stood out to me as training camp went along and as preseason games went along, well, you know what? He's got good pace. I didn't see it at the beginning. He wasn't himself at the beginning. There was something ailing him. But at the end of camp, I saw that extra step. And that's the kind of quickness that bodes well forechecking-wise. When you're playing with Duhaime and Dowd, that's the kind of line that's miserable to play against. And sort of speed and quickness will help that. Not a big body, not a huge guy at all, but a guy who's not afraid, again, to stick his nose in.
Is there a player, Joe, that you kind of have a hunch is going to be a much bigger contributor than most people think right now?
I want to go on the defensive side. I know John Carlson and Jacob Chychrun are going to fuel the defense from offensive standpoint, but I have a feeling Rasmus Sandin is going to provide a bigger scoring year this year. I think he's in great condition. I watched him in a preseason game in New Jersey tearing up and down the ice like I hadn't seen before. So I think he's feeling well. He's in a good place from a conditioning standpoint. And I know he's got the mindset. He's got the acumen to be a more offensive-minded defenseman. Spencer is giving him a lot of credit for being a two-way sound defensive guy first. And again, when you're playing defense, that's your primary role. Not everybody can be Cale Makar threatening 30 goals on from the defensive blue line. And yes, Chychrun and Carlson are going to score, odds are, more than Rasmus. But I wouldn't be surprised if Rasmus picks up his offensive numbers and someone like Martin Ferravari also picks up his offensive numbers. Collectively, that group of six last year on defense was so high scoring for Washington, it really helped fuel their attack.
Interesting, because the next question was more about the goals they scored last year, and that is, if they end up having a repeat season, regular season, we know how the playoffs are, you know, a total crapshoot in that sport, but if they end up, you know, with 105, 110, 111 points like they did last year, is it because they end up being one of the highest, you know, one of the top two or three scoring teams in the league?
There are a lot of weapons on this team. There really are. And you know, you expect McMichael at age 24 to continue his blossoming career. This is a guy who scored in the mid-20s last year. Does it surprise you if he pushes it up over 30? Probably not. Will Protas stay at 30, or will he go further? To me, that was the most improved season I could imagine. There wasn't a player that was more improved in the entire NHL than Alexei Protas. Does that continue? Does Tom Wilson continue to be a low 30s, mid-30s type goal scorer? Does Ryan Leonard show you 20-plus goal potential as a 20-year-old? Now, when Ryan's 25, they're going to be expecting 10, 15 more than 20.
Right.
But where does he go this year? Hendricks LaPierre has come in, won a third-line center job. I know he can do it at the offensive end. He's got to be conscientious defensively or else he won't play, and he knows that. And again, now 23, 24 years of age, Hendricks is maturing. He's listened to all the lectures from the coaches. Spencer Carberry is constantly in his ear, and vice versa. Hendricks is going to the coaching staff. What can I do better? So good on him for earning the job. Yeah, he was great in camp, phenomenal in preseason play, but now it's live bullets. This is real. Now he's got to show me why they invested a first-round pick in him and that he can stay in the lineup. And if he does, there's another guy with straight line speed that will catch your eye. You'll see 29 go, ooh, wait a minute, that guy can really go. And the more of those guys you have in nowadays NHL, the better you're served.
All right. If it doesn't go well, what would be the reason that it doesn't go well?
Oh,
what's
boy.
The biggest concern?
I like this team.
Yeah, I
really do. I really like this team. Now, the biggest concern to me, lots of teams in the East are getting better.
Right.
The teams that you could sit there and go, you know, Caps are going to be top eight for sure. Let's see how high we can get them into that top eight. All of a sudden, those bottom teams are coming along, and they've made player personnel moves that should make them better. To me, in the Metro, it's Washington, Carolina, Jersey. In any particular order, Carolina is terrific, and they added the player that Washington really wanted in the offseason from Winnipeg in Nikolaj Ehlers. It only makes an exceptionally fast team that much faster because Ehlers, no pun intended, is a true jet. He would look beautiful on this squad. To me, if the special teams fail, this team's really good 5-on-5. I think if you keep it a 5-on-5 game, I favor the Caps most nights and against anybody. But if all of a sudden it becomes a power play shootout, or all of a sudden, you know, your penalty killing goes really sour, and I don't anticipate that, Scott Allen is too good of a PK coach to let that happen. Kirk Muller is too good of a power play coach to let the power play fall off. And Spencer Carberry is somebody who looks after the power play in conjunction with Kirk, and Spencer brings all of that Toronto power play background with him. If the special teams, if both special teams were to fall off dramatically, yeah, then they'd be in trouble. They would be.
Last one. You know, we talk about, and you and I talk about this every year before the postseason starts, that it tends to be a bit of a crapshoot. We've seen a lot of eight seeds. We've seen a lot of, you know, teams that had no business sort of winning a cup or competing for one late into the postseason do it. But in recent years, we've had Florida and Edmonton in back-to-back seasons. Florida has been in the Stanley Cup Finals three straight years. Why is Florida able to do that? Why are they able to sort of, you know, rise above the random nature sometimes of the postseason NHL, you know, the NHL postseason?
Spectacularly well built, really put together, top to bottom, go through the lineup, look down the middle, start down the middle. Now, if you're a Florida Panther hockey fan right now, you're a little bit concerned because of the early season injuries. You're missing two of your very, very best forwards in Matthew Tkachuk and Alexander Barkov. People do not know how good Barkov is. But that's a two-time Stanley Cup champion for a reason. They are loaded everywhere. And they're going to be good again. Even if Barkov... Well, see, the problem is Barkov is so important to them. If they don't have Barkov at all, that's going to be troublesome. But if they were... If they had Barkov and Tkachuk for the majority of the season, I'm again going to pick them as the player, as the team that comes out of the East. They're that good. They're just well-built and at the right age. And oh, by the way, incredibly well-coached by Paul Maurice. I could go on and on about that franchise. They've been really good. And I'll give you one that's going to maybe surprise, but people were going to say, geez, Joe, how can you call them a surprise? The squad that might be the one that comes out of the East is Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, to me, this is the last chance for them to really the squad that, well, is not that far removed from Stanley Cup championships, not that far removed from playing deep into the postseason. Is this the last ride for Kucherov and Point and Hedman and Vasilevsky? You talk about their top end. Their top end is so good. And it's not like they're thin, but that's why I like Washington too, Kevin, because the depth of this team, when I'm looking at the roster right now and how it lays out, the Caps are deep. That's why they're good. That's why they're a threat in the Metro. That's why they're a threat in the East. You can't just be, again, you're going to sit there and go, what about Edmonton? You can't just be super duper top line, two of the best players in the world like Edmonton. That Edmonton team must be deeper than we give it credit for. That goalie must be better than I give him credit for each and every year. I say they can't win with him, and Skinner does just that. They get there. But to me, it's the teams that have quality depth. Washington is one of those. Carolina is definitely one of those. Florida is definitely one of those. There are signs, and to me, it's always down the middle, how well you play. And I think in so many sports, right, we can do that in so many different areas. You look down the middle, you look at the centers, you look at the goalies, and you sit there and go, wow, you know, they are at the upper echelon for a reason. I expect this Washington team to compete. And the best thing is, not a lot of people, not a lot of others do, which is really good because this group tends to use it as fuel.
Actually, one more. Is there a chance that Toronto, who ended up, you know, winning that division and losing that, you know, brutal seventh game against Florida in the second round, is their window closing? Are they ever going to get back to a Stanley Cup final? It seems like every spring Toronto's in that position where their place is lit and people are expecting something and it doesn't happen.
So pressure packed. That is the Yankee Stadium kind of pressure that they feel each and every year. The team is definitely talented without question and has those upper end guns that we talk about. They're there. So much so that they even shred one. They sent one to Vegas. And to me, again, the best teams, Kevin, are in the West. Vegas, Colorado, Dallas. I could go on and on. Those teams are really darn good. But all of a sudden now, with the change in personnel, you look at them and you go, well, can Matthew Nyes be Mitch Marner? Well, he's a different type of player, But he's going to produce. He's a monster in size and speed. Marner was devilishly quick and fancy. And when you have an Austin Matthews, the question is, how healthy is Austin? When Austin's healthy, there aren't very many goal scorers on the planet who are better. William Nylander has the ability to break defenses down like few other players in the league. They have the upper echelon guys. Do you trust Stolarz in goal for Toronto? Do you think they have enough defensively? I think it's a veteran core on defense. It doesn't have a lot of standouts, but they can mask some of their defensive deficiencies, sometimes their goaltending deficiencies, with their scoring ability. They can, when they're right, they can light a scoreboard up. Can they get there? Yes. The East is so close and so competitive, and all of a sudden, right out of the gate, when everybody's ready to go, hey, Florida's going to be a three-peat team. Boom. Matthew Tkachuk for months. Boom. Barkov maybe for the entire season. Now that changes the story. And it only brings a lot of really good Eastern teams into the mix.
You guys don't have the call tonight, right? That's a national game on TNT.
No, unfortunately not. We have the weekend in New York, Saturday and Sunday. Yep.
Yeah, Saturday on Monumental, 7 o'clock against the Islanders, and then Sunday at 7 o'clock against the Rangers in New York for Joe and company's first two games. How's Locker doing?
He's doing great. He'll be with me for the pregame shows tonight and the red carpet shows that are also on Monumental Sports Network tonight. He's doing well. Literally, Kevin, he's on the tennis court right now.
Perfect. Want to see him out there just competing and very healthy. That's always great news.
He is healthy. He is healthy, and that's awesome.
All right. Be good. Appreciate it. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for this.
Anytime you like. My pleasure.
Joe Beninati, everybody. Caps and Bruins tonight in the opener at Capital One. 7:30 puck drop. It's a national TV game, but you can hear the game on 106.7 The Fan, home for the Washington Capitals. All right, we'll do some NFL buy and sell next.
Happy Thursday morning, friends. We are the Junks coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, too. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. You got a three-man Junks team this Thursday morning. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes, joined by John Paul Flame.
What's up, Cakes?
What's up? Also joined by Eric Bickle.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Hope all is well. Jason Bishop is taking today and I believe tomorrow off.
All right. Good for
him. Getting that four-day weekend hustle on.
Nice.
Who doesn't love a four-day weekend?
I would love one.
They're fantastic. Did you get them?
Did you? I'm going to guess you watched. I know you watched the Caps because I watched the Caps too.
I did, yes.
I also simultaneously, I was checking in on the Cubs game, the end of that, which is exciting. Did you catch any baseball yesterday?
I did not.
Zero.
I caught a little bit of a replay of Seattle Detroit in the break room or the green room this morning.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I care. I shouldn't care, but for some reason I feel bad that a Hall of Fame pitcher in Clayton Kershaw is defined by being terrible in the playoffs.
So bad in the playoffs. It's so weird. I don't know why.
Now, the Dodgers are going to probably still win that series.
They're up 2-1.
He came in, and I think he got three outs in the first inning that he pitched. And then the second inning, he gives up five runs.
Yeah. It went from like 3-1 to 8-1. Yeah.
It's a weird thing where he's won multiple Cy Youngs. He will be in the Hall of Fame. Unbelievable regular season pitcher, but for some reason in the playoffs, he hasn't been the same pitcher. Now, he's not the same pitcher that he was during his prime. Right. He's about to retire.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel bad. I don't know why.
It just feels weird because it's incongruent. You can't wrap your brain around it. You don't know how to make sense of it. There's some of that.
Other than you see that in sports, you know, that's the rap on Lamar Jackson, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That Lamar Jackson is a different quarterback in the playoffs, and if you look at the statistics, that's what you see.
Smaller sample size. I mean, there's a lot more failure of Clayton Kershaw. It's like similar to Barry Bonds, although I think later in his career he maybe broke out of that a little bit.
Yeah.
But Bonds maybe for 15 years was terrible in the playoffs.
Not as good.
Yeah. Wild. It is wild. I mean,
you see it in all sports. I mean, maybe it's just somebody not coming up big. James Harden has that rap in the NBA where he comes up small in the clutch. Lamar Jackson in the NFL, you can find it in all sports.
Well, I think at this point you could say with Kershaw, I mean, there's a reason why the guy's retiring.
Yes.
Right? You know, so, I mean, he's at the end of the run, right? The stuff's not as good, not at the peak of his powers. So you could kind of excuse that away. But during the prime of his career, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I find it hard to believe that he doesn't have like a clutch gene or something because he's had incredible moments in his career, but who knows?
Yeah, it's great to have the hockey season underway. Kind of a dud.
Yeah.
Carberry told us that preseason doesn't matter, and in preseason they were great.
Yeah.
And then they only score a goal. Willie gets a goal, and that's it.
They had 5 power play opportunities. 0 for 5.
Yeah.
Let's hope that's not an omen for the rest of the season.
No, they'll be better than that.
Yeah.
That was obviously crazy. But it actually was so kind of dull for me, to, just to be fair, that like 15 minutes in, I switched to the baseball. And then I was just coming back in and checking periodically on the Caps.
Probably also that Joe B. and Locker
that also
on the call.
Definitely hurts it, for sure.
It definitely does.
For sure.
Definitely
it's not as exciting.
It. You like to have the homers on the call.
I love the homer. Yeah, they're better at it, and I know them.
Yeah.
I know those guys.
Yeah. They're just better at it. And more exciting for us locals. And at one point, they went to Carberry. I don't know if it was after a power play struggle or at some sort of timeout. And they were asking him, you know, how it was going. I think at that point, it was either 0-0 or we were just down 1-0. And he was just like, yeah, it's just barely good enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's essentially what he was saying.
Right.
He's just you know, it's just all right now. You know, he was steaming.
Hopefully you see a better effort in New York over the weekend. I believe they have a double dip with the Islanders and the Rangers coming up next on the sked.
Right.
I mean, it's such a long season.
I know.
And 82 games.
Hockey,
and we just learned the other day that they're actually adding 2 games to the NHL season.
And honestly, especially in the NHL, for me, it takes me a while to ramp up and get locked in. The games, you know, as the season progresses, obviously the games get more and more meaningful, more and more exciting. But that was kind of
I think there's a lot of truth to that for most fans.
Could be true. It was just a rough one to watch.
Yeah, but you got to savor all of the games in case it's Ovi's last season.
That part is true.
You got to lock in every single one because you'll never know when you're.
It's a great point.
I locked in for about 15 minutes. And it was
then
just.
Then you got locked out.
And you wanted to see Kyle Schwarber at the dish.
I just want to see. I said, I need some excitement. There's like nothing exciting going on here. And it was going back and forth a little bit.
I know. You're not going to be able to see the great one skate, maybe.
I know.
It's
kind of sad.
One point, I wanted to tweet who's slower at this point, Bobby Wagner or Ovi? Because there was a play.
Hate Bobby Wagner.
I don't hate him. He just can't run. But
number 2 in the NFL in tackles by 1.
I know. He's going to the Hall of Fame. And so is Ovi.
I know, but he's still producing. I know he gave up a pass to Bijan. But guess what? Most linebackers, if not all linebackers, would have given up the same pass,
no,
to Bijan Robinson.
He just can't move anymore.
He can still be slow and have tackles.
Yeah, I mean, he has tackles in his box. He's great at that.
Yeah,
he's going
tackles,
to Hall of Fame.
He has tackles in a phone booth.
And Ovi's going to Hall of Fame. But there was one we were
JP's offended by the slow comment.
No, because I think he's actually a lot better than he's being portrayed. He's number 2 in the NFL in tackles. That's beyond a phone booth.
He's incredible. He's incredible against the run.
He doesn't have a lot of
beyond
range.
That, he's very mediocre. He can blitz a little bit. But there was a play where we had it in their zone, and there was a turnover or something, and it was a 3-on-1. It was almost a 4-on-1. And Ovi, you could see, it took him a half second. He's like, oh, I better hightail it back.
Right.
And he just was not gaining any ground. And I remember, you know.
If somebody has a jump on them.
Of course.
Like, yeah, it's going to be tough.
But I also remember in Ovi's, you know, prime, though, I mean, he was fast. I mean, he was a mover on ice. He would flash. I mean, that hasn't been 10 years, but hard to watch sometimes.
Well, watching him at his peak is amazing because I did that interview with him at the corporate bit last week.
How did that go, by the way? Did you ever
went really well. Like he was very talk. He was more talkative there than he was with us
because media day.
Like at media day, like he came off the ice with an injury. Like he had a bunch of people. Like I don't know how into it he was because of extenuating circumstances. But the thing that struck me about like that interview, it wasn't even really anything to do with interviewing him. I walked in about an hour before the interview started, and there's a big TV next to the stage where I'm sitting down with him. And it's playing all of his goals in his career.
Yeah.
Now, it's not bang, 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 like goal, goal, goal. Like, there's a little celebration after each one, lead up. I walked in at 5 o'clock, and the goal counter was on, I don't know, goal 50 or 60. An hour passes, a full hour. And then I'm sitting down with Ovi, and as I'm sitting down with him, it's like on goal 550.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still like
they have hours and hours of footage
left to go. Yeah. It blows your mind when you see it, and then you see how long it takes just to go to process through all of the goals that he's racked up through his career. I mean, it's astounding, and he's just three short of 900 at this point.
Did you watch any of the pregame stuff? I know I'm not a pregame guy, but we just put it on. They were in Vegas.
I watched 2 minutes of it. Again, I'm not a pregame guy.
I'm not either, but it was on. I didn't want to miss it. You know, the start of the game. The guy all the way on the right, is that Lundgren or whatever? The guy that was with the goalie?
Lundqvist. Henrik Lundqvist.
Is that who that was on the right?
Is he dreamy?
He was a handsome guy with a beard.
That was him, yeah.
Do you remember seeing him?
I know that he's part of the bit.
Okay. Because I was trying to figure out, who's that dude? And he looked familiar, and he was here for a second, but never really played.
Yeah, he had a heart ailment that prevailed, prevented him from playing for the Caps.
Right.
They had a million guys on that desk.
They had so many guys. They had Gretzky all the way over on the left.
Yeah. It looked like six guys, right?
It was a bunch.
Five, six?
It was a bunch. But definitely Lundqvist or whatever, he was definitely the best-looking guy of all those guys.
If I'm going to watch the pregame, I prefer the one with Alexa Landestoy and Alan May. Homers. I like the homers.
Right.
That's what I do.
Well, I was at the mercy of whatever TNT was giving me.
Yeah.
And that's what they had. But, I don't know, is he bow-legged too?
Who?
Lundqvist.
I have no idea.
I was looking at his leg. It looked
kind
like
of obsessed on Henrik Lundqvist.
I was just looking. I needed to know who it was. I thought it was Lundqvist. I couldn't place his name.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the goalie that was in New York that was here for a year.
You're correct.
Yeah.
You love Swedes.
Maybe they're just better looking humans.
What other Swedes does he like?
Is Bondra
Bondra's not a Swede?
No chance. What is Bondra?
Okay.
For some reason,
Bondra's
I thought Bondra was
not
Swede.
Swedish.
What is he?
He is, hold on.
Is he like Czech or something?
He's either Czech Republic or Slovakian.
Okay. Well,
yeah, he's one of...
But you can't put me in a box.
I'm pretty convinced he's one of those two. I want to say he's Slovakian. I should know that.
You can't put me in a box, man. I just like good-looking hockey players.
Peter Bonner's good-looking, but he's not from Sweden.
Right. He was born, it looks like, in Ukraine, which at that time was Soviet Union.
Yeah.
But later on, you see, he's a Slovak.
Slovak. There you go.
There you go.
I knew it was one of those two.
They moved to Czechoslovakia when he was three.
Yeah, which doesn't even exist anymore. That country is no longer there.
But when you look at his Wikipedia later on, it says, after living in Crofton, Maryland.
Yeah, that's our guy.
Wow.
He lives in Riva.
Which is Ukraine or something, or Slovakia?
No, Riva. No,
like River Road, Maryland. Yeah. Suburb of Annapolis.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, yeah.
Down the road from Crofton.
I think that's where like all the government buildings are, you know, like, for the county. Yeah, on like Riva Road.
Okay.
All right, coming up on an Open Line Thursday, of course, you're welcome to call in and chime in throughout the show. 800-636-1067 is the number. At 720, we'll talk NFL with Brian Baldinger. He's our weekly guest. He's always great. And speaking of weekly guests, Dave Richard will join us at 8 o'clock. So get your fantasy football questions ready. Week 6 starts tonight as the Giants tangle with the Eagles in an NFC East showdown on Thursday Night Football. When we come back, we'll get into the Junk's sports page here on The Fan.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is high noon in the District of Columbia. In a few minutes, you're going to hear from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt. But right now, we're excited to jump on the Rude Guest Hotline. Talk to our guy, Mr. John Walton, voice of the Caps right here on the flagship Caps radio station, 106.7 The Fan.
A bigger Prince fan than I am.
That's true. Walton, what's up, dude?
Yeah, I was busy jamming there. Sorry, I kind of zoned out for a minute. That was nice.
Oh, yeah, John, they know what to play when you're coming on, bro.
I know. I love that. I can't tell you how much I love that every time I come on.
Hey, what did you take away from the game last night?
You know, I think there's a lot of things that were fine. The 5-on-5 play I could have seen a little bit more of. I thought Boston did a really nice job of, keeping tight defensive gaps against the guys. I think they were a little frustrated. Power play could have easily gone their way. They had a lot of chances, and I thought, especially the first couple, I thought, you're facing a hot goalie, and sometimes that's going to happen. So I just hearing from what Tom Wilson and Jacob Chychrun said after the game, a little bit from Ovi too, I really kind of felt, the game was right there, and sometimes you're going to run into a goalie, it's going to make your life miserable. I thought Swayman was excellent last night. I thought LT was pretty good too. I think Thompson was probably deserving of a better fate, but in the game 1 of 82, it's just there's always a lot more focus on that first one because you got the red carpet and everybody's back and everybody's pumped and you want to make sure the party goes the way it's supposed to. But I think all in all, I mean, going to New York this weekend, real chance to get back on a beam and just tighten a few screws and be on their way.
What was the vibe in there last night? I mean, it was low score until the third. It was just how excited was everybody for the season to start, and then just how did that game continue?
Yeah, I thinking back to when Wilson scored in the third period, I was like, okay, you know what? This is where the roof caves in on Boston and it caves in on Swayman. They're going to generate momentum off of that, and then it was taken away almost immediately. And I think that was where the game was probably lost. I think if they had a chance to build up some of that momentum, I mean, you could kind of feel the building charge up when that happens. So unfortunate that they didn't really get that chance and a puck goes in the net the other way at the wrong time. But, I think that's, it's going to happen. I think it's always when you've got that many people, coming down, excited to see him, and the building was pretty jammed. I thought it was great. I mean, just, the red carpet over the years is, kind of evolved a little bit where it's always that, special time when everybody comes down early and takes off work early. And, it's kind of fun being out there. We don't get outside much, so it's nice to be able to look up in the sky. That was pretty cool. And the rain held off. So, it was pretty cool.
So I asked Ted this last night. I got to interview Ted Leonsis, and I'm going to ask you the same thing. This
nice
time
name
last
drop.
Year,
that was nice. That was good.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah, he's the owner. This time last year, there was so much focus on Ovi's goal chase, right? And he eventually got home on that, and it was this really, really fun and exciting kind of subplot, maybe even the main plot to the season. That is not the case anymore. I understand, every time Ovi scores, we're going to be keeping track of it. And, he's going to get to 900 here, probably relatively early in the season. What is the focus this season when you think about it?
It's funny. It's a question that I started getting the vibe about this time last year, maybe a little bit later, maybe it was the end of October. And talking with Logan Thompson and talking with some of the guys that came in. And Thompson, to me, is always the guy that personifies this best, that kind of chip on the shoulder. A lot of people don't think we're very good. The team was – when you looked at the roster, there are a lot of new faces. How would they assimilate? And I thought they would be pretty good. I'd be lying if I thought they were going to run away and win the division in a walk like the way they did. But – that was a theme that we started to hear. It's like, nobody gets up for the Caps and everybody thinks we're not very good. And, lo and behold, we are. And then you got later in the year and then you had the Ovi chase along with, hey, this team's pretty good. I thought that was behind us a little bit, just because after 111 points, you'd think so, right? And then you start reading, The Athletic puts out there 1-32, like where do the teams stack up from the very best to the very worst? And in a 32-team league, they've got them at 14. I was like, wait a minute. Like, they were down to the, literally the last 4 days of the season, they could have won the President's Trophy and had the best record in the league, and they have all the same guys back. And why are they there? And I found that curious, but it turns out that hockey players and coaches read those things too. And they're thinking along the same line. So in being around Thompson, especially, and Spencer Carberry was asked a little bit during the preseason too, it is a little mystifying to them, but I really think that they use that as fuel. And there's a little bit of, hey, listen, we're going to show you. And, I really believe with the character of the guys in this room, you don't have this gigantic hockey history that everyone talks about and we'll talk about for the rest of time. But you have a guy they'd like to win for, that same guy. And then you have a team that of guys that came from other places where they want to be able to get further than they did last year. They've got to find a way to beat Carolina. Hurricane's still a pretty good team. But, you know, when you look at it across the board, this is a team that should be right there. And you know, people want to talk about the Rangers. I didn't think the Rangers were very good at all the other night. I watched their first game. They got shut out at home to Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is struggling. And they're an older team and don't have, all the horses. And New Jersey, they're hurt all the time. I'm like, where exactly did they think this team was going to fall? And I think they use that to be able to say, hey, listen, you know, the we'll show you mentality, I think, runs through that room. Not all of them talk about it, but I definitely have gotten that sense in there.
John, you can't expect a 40-year-old guy to go out and carry a team. Obi will have his moments. He'll have some fantastic moments. But there are a lot of young guys on this squad that seem to be ready to take that step. Is this kind of a situation where it's kind of the changing of the guard? You still got the man there, but still, it's a changing of the guard?
It is, and I think we've seen that. I think you can go back even 2 years ago, B-Mitch, and, you know, they didn't make the playoffs, but, you know, they traded Hathaway, and they traded Orlov, and they got some picks, and they went out and got Sandine. And at the time, they called it the retool on the fly. And, you know, even at the time, I'd say, okay, you know, it's one thing to say that, but, you know, how do you do it? How do you back that up? How do you keep the sun in the sky for Alex in the late stages of his career here? And Brian McClellan and Chris Patrick, in a brilliant manner, went out and identified, you know, Logan Thompson and Matt Roy and Jacob Chychrun, and basically built the best defensive core in the NHL. And I even the people who don't think this team is as good as they think they are, it's pretty undeniable that this is the best E-core around. You've got Jacob Chychrun on your third pair, and he scored 20 goals last year. That's pretty good. And they're very, you know, helpful to their goaltenders. And, you know, I think there's a lot that they do that's really good. That part's okay, but it was, you know, how do you keep that going? And, you know, that's the prospects. And Alexei Protas stepping up and getting 30 goals last year. Tom Wilson getting to 33 goals last year, which was incredible. You know, they've got there's a lot of guys that hit the gas, and Connor McMichael was one too. And now you're looking at, yeah, that changing of the guard too, where you've got, you know, what can the third line do? What's Ryan Leonard going to do this year? First full year in the league. What's Henrik Lapierre going to do? They need that line to be good. That wasn't very good last year. That was the one thing among the team last year. They just didn't get a lot of offensive production from line three. And you've got to be able to have all lines, you know, contributing and doing what they need to do. But, you know, Henrik Lapierre had a great camp, and Ryan Leonard's a top 10 pick and comes in. He led all of college hockey in goals last year. So, you know, once they figure that out and once they're able to do their thing, I mean, that's where I think a lot of that transition continues.
Of all those guys you mentioned, of all the really, like, pleasant surprises, if you will, or even, like, Willie breaking out like that offensively, who of those guys, maybe it's Chychrun, like there's a lot of dudes, Protas, who do you think has another level to hit?
You know, it's funny you say Protas last, because I look at him and
I mean, skating physically.
Billy, when I saw, yeah, I mean, and his brother too, right? I mean, we're scouring Belarus as we speak to see if there's any other distant relatives or anybody else we can sign up here. My goodness. I mean, Ilya at 6'6", and, you know, he isn't quite ready for the NHL, but he's going to go down to Hershey and get a chance to play 20 minutes in a game. And, you know, just watching him make a move to the front of the net, I think back to preseason where there's a, you know, he's just playing right at the right post and a puck comes to him and he doesn't score, but just so physically imposing. Alexei's skating from 2 years ago to now is so much better, and he's fast. And when he gets going at 6'6", tough to catch him. And it, you know, he got a couple of shorthanded goals last year that way, and a great touch and a great shot, and he moves the puck really well for his line mates. I mean, that's, I think there's more there. I mean, it's tough to say that about a guy that was so successful last year, but I who's going to stop him? I mean, it's 6'6", and to be able to skate like that, and there's a lot coming in the pipeline. I think it's really encouraging in the what will certainly be the post-Ovi era in the coming years here, where you've got so many guys that they've drafted with size and speed, and, you know, a lot of them are in Hershey already, and others will be there soon in the next year or so. And they're all going to, I mean, it's a good group coming. As good as I've seen in the 15 years I've been here, I don't think it's ever been better than it is right now with what's coming. So a good way to, you know, we were talking about that transition. I mean, that's what you're looking at. And there's a lot to transition to, and I think it's pretty exciting.
The transition, I've said this repeatedly. I've been really excited, and I really like tip my hat to how the Caps have kind of rebuilt on the fly and gotten younger and gotten faster while allowing Ovi to continue to be a big part of this, allowing him to break Gretzky's record. But at the same time, it's like they're rebuilding on the fly. You lose Oshie, you lose Backstrom, you still have Wilson, you still have Carlson, but this thing has really turned over. There's this weird need in our world for everybody to wonder what's next, and I think a huge part of that is wondering if this is Ovi's last year. It's my understanding he's like, man, as long as I'm playing well and we're winning games and I'm a part of that, I'm in no hurry to make a decision. Is that consistent with what you see and you hear, John?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way of putting it, and I think only he knows. I don't think there's anybody internally or externally. I think he will do what he sees best and best for him and what he loves to do and what made him successful for more than two decades and the greatest goal scorer of all time is that he loves to come to the rink and he loves to score goals. And as long as he's doing that, I think he's going to keep going. And if he decides that, hey, you know what, I don't know that I have this in me anymore, then I think that day will come and none of us want to hear it, but then it'll happen. But I truly believe that he hasn't decided. I don't think he has, because, you know, he gets life from being around the young guys. I mean, you know, pass attempts and trying to, you know, he had one in the game last night where he was trying to feed Protas, and I thought, you know, here's a guy who, you know, is 3 goals from 900, and a lot of times, more often than maybe people think, he's looking to pass and looking to lift others up around him. And, you know, I think as long as he's enjoying that, as long as he's doing that, as long as he feels like that's needs to be a part of his life, he's going to do it. So, yeah, I don't know when it's coming. I'm kind of one of those that, you know, he's made my career with all the places that I've gotten calls that I never would have believed. So I'm in no hurry for him to go anywhere. But, you know, I'm just going to live in denial and into myself and saying that this is just going to keep going and going and going. I don't want to think about it.
What kind of game you anticipate Friday night with the Islanders?
Yeah, you know, with the Isles, this is, you know, their team in transition. I mean, they've got a new general manager who, funny enough, I know very well. Matthew Darche was a goal scorer and a good one at the AHL level when I was in Hershey, and he took over as general manager. He is an A1 human being, and he's a really good hockey guy. He is going to make the Islanders better. But right now, they're not a playoff team. So I think, you know, they've got the number one pick we're looking forward to seeing in this past year's draft, Matthew Schaefer, defenseman can skate like the wind. He's the youngest D-man, I think, to step in for the Islanders, maybe in their history. Just now turned 18. But they're a team that is, you know, coming off of the last regime of general manager there that, you know, they're old, they're slow, they didn't have a lot of prospects, and they're turning the page and kind of starting fresh. They're going to be good in a couple of years. I have every confidence in the guy that they just hired for the job, which isn't great news for the Caps. But in right now, I think going into that building, there's always going to be the emotion. It's going to be their home opener. So, you know, player introductions and the players or the fans just like here last night, I mean, they're going to be all fired up. But, you know, I think they're going to be fine. And then you got the Rangers on Sunday where, you know, I was not impressed with them. I think that they will get it together. I think they'll be better than they were last year when they just bottomed out. But, you know, they're going to be playing on the back half of a 2-2, the same as the Capitals. So I think if they can go and have a really nice New York weekend, they can come back home in a really nice stretch of games, guys, coming up after this weekend where they're 5 of the next 6 are going to be at home. So chance to, before the schedule really gets nasty in November, to kind of build some standings equity. And I think they've got a pretty good opportunity to do that.
Do I remember, didn't the Rangers sell off a bunch at the trade deadline, or did they acquire?
There were some. They had a weird year. So Jacob Trouba was there, and they traded him, and they traded Chris Kreider, and they got some pieces back. They've got a really good goaltender. Igor Shesterkin is one of the best in the league. So they're not going to necessarily give up a whole lot, but they don't really have the scoring that they did 2 years ago either. So And they did no scoring in their opener, 100th anniversary, and everybody fired up at MSG. Pittsburgh in town, a bit of a lesser team right now, and the Penguins just spanked them on the nose and left with a 3-0 win. So they're going to be a little angry, too. They've got a game in Pittsburgh on Saturday before playing the Caps on Sunday. So, yeah, we'll see. But it'd be nice to pick up a nice four-point weekend and a little time in the city on Sunday.
Who's my guy that Willie threw off his back like a lantern fly? Panarin?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, back when during COVID there with the That was like a lantern fly. I like that.
Is that dude drives me nuts. He's a good goal scorer, but he's annoying. Is that dude still
on
the Rangers?
Yeah, and he had a bad year last year, and he's still very talented. I mean, that's something you got to look out for. But yeah, that's that there is a little bit of history there with 43 and that guy.
Remember when we were there 2 years ago for the playoff series? He was pretty good, and all the fans had like bread heads for Panarin. I'm excited hockey's back, dude. I confess that it doesn't get my full devoted attention till football's over, but it's great to have Caps games on, man. I'm excited.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's funny because, you know, as it started, I was out front last night doing some TV stuff, and you're like that tiny little chill in the air, and then you get up today, and it's like, ooh, it kind of feels like fall out. Must be hockey
season.
Yes,
it does.
So, yeah, time to get after it.
Indeed. Thank you, John. We always appreciate your time. John.
All right, thanks, fellas. Anytime.
All right, man.
All right, that is the great John Walton. You can hear his call right here on 106.7 The Fan. Caps' next game is Saturday, 7 o'clock in Long Island, taking on the Islanders. You can give John a follow at John Walton, PXP. When we come back, Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury address the media. Let's see what they say. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.